You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot of updates. I'm going to start with an update on teachers. If you were tuned in for the last hour, we had a very interesting discussion, a lot of back and forth with the callers. Some people think that teachers should never go back to school, even if they do get vaccinated. Zoom is the future. And I disagree, but that's okay. We have an update, though. Leicester foreign language teacher, her name is Kelly Southwick. She was on some sort of school board meeting, and it was last week. Now I'm reading from Turtle Boy. Last week, the Leicester School Committee held a meeting about the new plan to reopen schools, and Kelly Southwick decided to call in and share her thoughts. Now, the screenshots of this Zoom, she is smoking cigarettes, as some people, Turtle Boy likes to call it, ripping butts. And she does seem to be consuming a little bit of something in a wine glass. I will let everyone figure it out. I'm guessing it is wine based off the clip you're about to hear, but cannot confirm nor deny. So the screenshots, she's got a cigarette, and then in the other one, she puts the cigarette down, and you see the wine glass with the tag still on the bottom of it. And it's quite the clip. Now, I'm going to let you guys decide if Kelly Southwick is all there. This is, let's play it.
This choice, do you want to go now or do you want to go last?
I'll go now, hon.
Okay, go ahead.
So, thinking about, you know, going forward and what kids have lost, and Mr. Lauder will be here with me and so on, Superintendent. We have a program, you know, summer school. Kids fail to, you know, they come to summer school, they try to regain credits, et cetera, et cetera. I'm thinking that we could, like, expand that program this year to, you know, not only did I fail, but maybe I didn't get quite as much as I wanted to. But that's, I'm just, like, looking forward to trying to get kids back to where they need to be. And so that's what I wanted to say.
Great. Thank you, Miss Southwick.
Again, do I know if it's wine in the wine glass? No, but if I were to read between the lines, I would say yes.
Was she clapping for herself? Like, what was the clapping at the end of that?
These Zoom board meetings are lit. They're just like, they're just bashing parents and, you know, telling stories about beating people up. And then you've got this woman ripping butts and smoking and drinking wine. It's, wow, I don't blame them for not wanting to go back. I mean, if that could be your job, just sit in your Zoom computer and drink wine, you'd kind of be foolish to want to go back. Guys, first I want to say thank you to WXME. I'm already getting messages from people who are listening to us, and they're glad that they have something to listen to, and they've been enjoying the program today. So wanted to give a shout out to Northern Maine and Western New Brunswick. And
love our Aroostook County people.
Exactly. And we love the new stations that are joining us. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I do want to talk about another update here. The stories, they really break so fast. Andrew Cuomo. So today I talked a lot about Charlotte, this new person. I'm blanking on her name. Hold on, let me find my column here. Her name, I believe. The first woman who came out and accused Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. Her name was Lindsay Boylan, and now there's another woman who is also an aide. She's a 25-year-old Charlotte Bennett. She's detailing accounts of sexual harassment by Governor Andrew Cuomo. And this is how it always happens. You know, there's always footage of people being weird, but it's not until it really breaks that people zone in on it and they find a clip where they kind of let it slide when it happened, and now they say, that was weird. That was strange. There's a strange video, I think it was like a newscast, where Cuomo tells a female reporter, he challenges her to, Jared, I don't want to get this wrong, is it eat the whole sausage?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Let's play that sound. So much sound today.
Will you eat the whole sandwich?
I will eat the whole sandwich.
Yeah?
Okay. Who made
sausage?
I can eat the whole sandwich.
No excuses. You know everyone, you know the Chinese.
It's not as easy to eat. It's in front of all these cameras.
Well, that's right. That's your
fault.
Not only do you have to eat the sausage,
that's
but you all, have to...
That's part of the being the governor, right?
Well, there is a course when you get elected to office. They have a course called eating on camera. Yeah, there's too much sausage in that thing. Yeah.
There's too much sausage in that.
Seriously, are we not doing phrasing anymore? Like, what's going on?
He just manages to be so creepy at all times. And if you watch the video, I think his daughter is sitting with him at the table.
Yes, he introduced his daughter to the person he was talking to.
And the craziest part of this Cuomo thing, if I can come back to it really quick, and I am going to move on because there's so many other stories I want to get to in this last hour, but the craziest part is the media not understanding how complicit they were in making this guy into an absolute hero. People were referring to Chris Saliz's piece that was titled, Andrew Cuomo said he'll never run for president. That's a mistake. Now, keep in mind, CNN is pretty famous for predicting who's going to be president. President Michael Avenatti would be the first one to tell you that their predictions are always pretty dead on. So Chris Saliz put out that column March 31st, 2020. And this reporter, Yashar Ali, I don't know if he's a reporter. He's very popular on Twitter, though. He just responded to it and said, yikes. And Chris Saliz said, wait, so I was supposed to know almost a year ago about these allegations against Cuomo that have just come out? I know this website likes dunking, but wow. And the responses back were great because everyone was saying the same thing. Like, this is not something you just found out about. Please stop pretending, for everyone's sake, that this is like a bombshell that you had no idea. So Yashar writes back, Cuomo's antics were known for years, Chris, years. You were seduced by a couple of weeks worth of press conferences. And I'm not even speaking of sexual harassment. I'm talking about bullying, lying, threatening. Maybe ask your colleagues. Speaking of his colleagues, is Dana Bash CNN or is she MSNBC? Okay, so it is his colleague. Dana Bash made a little bit of an error to, I think it was last night. Let's play cut 13.
The New York Times is reporting last night that a second allegation of sexual harassment against New York Governor Chris Cuomo. This is a report from a former aide, Charlotte.
Whoa.
Beep, beep, beep.
Back it up there, Dana. Don't throw Fredo into the mix, okay? He's already got enough issues to deal with. And you know what? Since we're on CNN, we might as well continue with this. As you guys know, CPAC was yesterday, or Trump's speech at CPAC was yesterday, and he did a great job. I think the main theme was watch out rhinos, because Trump is not going to hold back in 2022. They're going to primary a lot of people. I think it's going to be great. But someone who's obsessed with Donald Trump is Brian Stelter. And there's this old thing in media that I learned about when I started working for Howie, which is it's never smart if you start repeating what people are saying about you, if it's a negative thing. Like if I were to come out every day and say, I'm not a balloon head, you know, Jared might say, stop saying that. You're starting to make people think you're a balloon head. You get what I mean? Like you don't lead with something negative about yourself. Brian Stelter apparently has never learned that, because he decided to talk about the tweets regarding Mr. Potato Head, and it was not good. Cut six.
On Friday, I was about to go get dinner for my kids when Donald Trump Jr. attacked me in his speech at CPAC. Something about me looking like a gender-neutral potato head. And then the tweets started rolling in on my computer, people telling me about Donnie Jr. insulting me, and I thought of some really cutting responses, some really clever ways to reply, some way to go viral, but then I stopped. I didn't post anything. It was just another distraction. He wanted me to respond. This was just more BS fuel for the culture war, and it does not matter. The best thing we can do for each other in this world of tweet storms is to refuse to be confused by that noise, is to refuse to be distracted. There is too much real news going on.
Whoa!
There's no time for potato heads.
There's no time for potato heads. There's too much real news going on. But you are on CNN, a national news network, and you're spending an entire segment of your television show that I believe is in a good time slot talking about how you didn't respond to a tweet about you being called a gender-neutral potato? Maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm out of the loop. That sounds crazy to me. There's no time to talk about this, but let me talk about this for an entire segment. Guys, when we get back on the other side, I have a lot more to get to. I see you guys on the line. Actually, let's take one call before we go to break. Lisa, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hey, Grace. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I was thinking about your last segment, talking about all the teachers.
Yeah.
And I recently retired as a teacher. I had two full-time jobs, so I had to let one go. But I spent 2.5 months on that remote crap as a special ed teacher. And it is bogus. I said we needed to go back to school after April break. And the thing that I kept hearing was from administration, oh, well, we don't know that it's safe. Oh, well, we're not even expecting to come back at the beginning of next year. So it's throughout. And a lot of the issues for some of these younger teachers is tenure, quite frankly. Depending upon how their contract works, if they're new first, second, third year, they could be put on some kind of a plan, or they can be let go without cause. For the older teachers, the problem that I always had with them was they've never done anything but teach. They've never had what I call a real job where, you know, there's money on the line and figure it out.
Yeah.
Or get out.
No, Lisa, so, that's the perfect way to put it. And I really appreciate that call because I feel the same way. It's like there's a lot of businesses that had to make tough decisions during this, but this isn't a business. This is not a business. This is the teachers' unions have become like their own political party, and they're so powerful. They wouldn't have to be, but when you got someone like Joe Biden who's willing to just go any way the wind blows as far as the teachers' unions, they get even more powerful. Guys, hotels, dentists, and veterinarians, they have all purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier for their businesses. I'm going to hold it up for you guys just in case you've never seen it. You may have heard Dr. Matt last Friday. He was on Howie's show, and he mentioned that he's purchased, I think, 3 of these now, because if you work in a veterinarian's office, I mean, animals have very interesting smells, and he just turns this on, and his patients or, you know, his clients come in and they say, how does it not smell in here? I mean, because if you have a cat or a dog, you probably notice the smell in your own house. But the fact that he doesn't even have a smell in his office is pretty incredible. And it goes to show you how great these air purifiers are. Also, his son has a stinky cat.
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody!
Smelly cat, it's not your fault. It's not your fault, okay? And now you have the thunderstorm. So now his son does not need to worry about it because he turns this on and the smell is gone. It's really incredible. They're easy to move around from one room to another, take it with you on a trip. And the best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. The Eden Pure air purifier can handle pet, kitchen, or tobacco odors, or that damp basement smell. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE to save $10 off the lowest sales price and get free shipping. EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Shipping is free. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls and an update from Massachusetts from Charlie Baker. This came out last week, but a lot of businesses are set to reopen today. So I am going to read you some of these new regulations. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
If I were a
tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Thank you, Andrew Cuomo. Thank you for reminding us that there are men who can lead and be clear and tell the truth, even when the news is bad. That was Chelsea Handler when she wrote a love letter to the main man in her life, Andrew Cuomo, back in March, almost a year ago now. Jared, we should probably get to the poll question before we take more of these calls. So let's do that. It is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Andrew Cuomo resign?
I got to stick with what I said. I'm going to say yes.
Just 15% of the audience says yes, he will resign.
There is a lot to get to today, but let's take a couple calls here and then we'll break down some of these coronavirus restrictions that are easing up today. And then the other ones are easing up on March 22nd. Daniel, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, Grace.
Hey, what's going on?
I just wanted to say, how come these school teachers are not dropping dead in Florida?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want anyone to do anything that they don't feel safe with. If you don't feel safe, that's fine, but stop cashing the paycheck and do something else. I mean, the person who helps Howie out in Florida, McKay, you guys all know him. He's Howie's assistant when he's in Florida, and he works at a grocery store. He sees tons of people every single day, but he's essential, so he goes to work, and he has been. Since the beginning of this, since the very beginning when people were crazy and people were going in and like grabbing all the toilet paper and, you know, just acting nuts, he was there and he was there today and he'll be there tomorrow. That's part of the gig. You don't get to be essential when you choose to be essential. That kind of defeats the purpose of it. All right. So let's go through some of these updates here. Today, concert halls, theaters, and other indoor performance venues can open at 50% capacity with a 500-person limit. Laser tag, roller skating, trampoline, and obstacle courses, and other indoor close-contact recreational activities can reopen at 50%. I hate to say this. I don't know how many of them are left anymore after this shutdown, but hopefully there will be some. Capacity limits for all businesses will be raised to 50% and excludes employees. Capacity limits lifted for restaurants, but must adhere to 6-foot social distancing and 90-minute table limits and limits of 6 people per party. I've never understood the table limits. I don't understand why if 6 people sit at a table for an extra 20 minutes, then they might get the virus. Unless it's just to let another table come in. I don't know. I don't understand that. And then in March 22nd, only 21 days away, indoor and outdoor stadiums can reopen to fans with 12% capacity limits. Arenas may reopen, also limited to 12% capacity. Ballparks can reopen with 12% capacity. And a big one for me, dance floors may open, which is huge. I don't know. It seems like Baker knows that people have just had it. And I'm not complaining, though. Please keep everything open. Let's get this moving along. When we get back on the other side, I will take more of your calls. We will do a little bit of producer's picks, but I want to play some of this CPAC sound because a lot of it's really good and Trump was really on fire. And I think it's worth talking about. I think it's worth talking about the future of the Republican Party. I don't know what that future looks like, but it definitely involves Donald Trump. It was electric last night. People were so pumped to have someone on stage who could speak in coherent sentences. Speaking of that, can I get the Biden here? Cut 14.
Families should be the rapidly rising
there's a lot more where that came from, guys. I'll be talking about the Biden administration a little bit in the next segment. And we'll play some Trump sound 844-500-4242. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
We have a dying mother, just like the mother in our story. She's Mother Earth. And we must come to balance with her and honor her. And she'll heal too. So let's be courageous together, guys. And let's turn the page on the cruel past of this nation. The good news is inclusion and justice and care for Mother Earth is breaking out everywhere. The godly light of decency is breaking through the hideous dark storm we've been living through.
That was Mark Ruffalo, and that was a completely self-congratulatory speech, as you would come to expect from the Golden Globes. Wasn't a great night for Hollywood. Still waiting on those ratings. If anyone knows how the Golden Globes did yesterday, I would be interested. My favorite was this guy, Ankler Rushfield. He wrote, "Not to get too maudlin and dramatic about it, but last night I felt like I was witnessing the death of Hollywood before my very eyes. I have to say, I did not watch it, but seeing some of the tech glitches that happened and seeing some of the awkward comedy, I'm using that very loosely, comedy sketches, I understand why he feels that way. If there was ever going to be a year where Hollywood's award shows really died, it would be this year." Steve, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Grace, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Well, I have to say I'm very impressed with your show so far. I've been a big fan of Howie's most of my life, and I've been an avid listener of yours since you started. And I wanted to call you with a quick, funny story.
Well, let me say thank you first, Steve. Thank you for those compliments. I do appreciate it. And go ahead.
You've earned it. So I live in Tingsboro. I went to vote in the election, voted for President Trump. And I was going through the line, and I noticed they had pencils to cast your vote. And I said, well, I pulled out a pen out of my pocket, and I was told I was not allowed to use a pen. It's illegal to use a pen. I said, so what's to stop somebody from erasing my vote and casting another vote? She goes, oh, that wouldn't happen. There's no election fraud. And I laughed. I said, do you watch the news or listen to the radio or go on the internet? Do you hear what's going on all over the world? Because I voted last minute. I waited till the lines went down. And they said, you're absolutely not allowed. So I called up Bill Galvin's office and got a great response, as I expected. And they told me that, well, yeah, no, you're allowed to use a pen and you can bring your own pen. I said, you know, if you guys are all hot on this COVID thing, I would think you wouldn't want people recycling pencils.
Right. No, that's a great point, Stephen. And Trump did hit on that last night at CPAC, you know, securing our elections, because whether or not Brian Stelter or Jim Acosta, like it or not, people are very skeptical of our elections. And that's a terrible thing. A lot of times in America, when things are not going the way you want them to, people say, well, let's, you know, use our voices at the ballot box. Let's go to the ballot box and let's change things. But when you start to feel like that doesn't matter, or that is, you know, not secure and not valid, then a lot of things can start to fall apart. Billy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Billy.
Hello, Grace. So thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And I got to agree with the other guy. I really like your show. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Billy.
And, honestly, and another thing I want to say, because I tried calling you a couple times and I couldn't get through, and I've been thinking about, you know, Trump saves the swamp, and I got to agree with him. I don't think, you know, what happened with this election this year.
Billy, I'm sorry, man, you're breaking up, but I do appreciate the call. Call back anytime you want. Let's play This Is Cut talking about securing our elections. This is Cut 5. Hold on one sec, everybody. We're just pulling it up now.
A presidential race should never be allowed to happen. Today, I want to outline the steps that we must take to have an election system in this country that is honest, fair, and accurate. We need one election day, not 45, 30.
And right now in this country, that is a controversial stance. And reporters were shocked and disturbed. This was one of them, Glenn Kessler. Trump still lying about his election loss when he said, I may even decide to beat them for a third time. Now, the New York Post, back in October 2019, ran this story. Hillary Clinton says she could beat Trump again. What was Yamiche Alcindor and Glenn Kessler, were they all upset when Hillary was spouting off those conspiracies that she could beat Trump again? Or it, of course not. It only matters if it's Donald Trump. But I have to say, the New York Times, there's a story from them where they said backstage, before he spoke, an aide brought Mr. Trump a full-length mirror to gaze at how he looked. And there's a picture of Trump looking at himself in the full-length mirror. And I just have to say, if that is a reason to hate the president, that he looks at himself before he goes on national TV, I am guilty as charged. And I was guilty before I was even in the radio biz of looking at myself in mirrors. A lot of us do it. I mean, you see yourself, you do a little Zoolander face, and you make sure everything's good. That's kind of human nature, to want to make sure you look okay. But not to the New York Times. They're on this. Speaking of the Biden administration here, there's some stories that made me laugh today. One of them is from Politico. It says, few bars have been set lower than the one Joe Biden has had to clear when it comes to bringing transparency back to the White House. So they have to start in on this story with a dig at Trump. Because, you know, Trump would only have press conferences for 2 or 3 hours and he'd take questions from anyone who asked. He didn't care if you were from CNN, from Fox, from OAN, from a different country, like if you were a news reporter from Japan or from any place. It did not matter. He would take your questions. But according to Politico, he set the bar really low for Joe Biden. Donald Trump has been an easy act to follow. I'm going to disagree. But 5 weeks into office, Biden has fallen short of his former boss, Barack Obama, in several areas and is under pressure to do more to restore confidence in the federal government following Trump's chaotic term in the White House. The White House has committed to releasing visitor logs, but it doesn't plan to divulge the names of attendees of virtual meetings, which are the primary mode of interaction until the coronavirus pandemic eases. And while Biden has received kudos for keeping the American public informed, primarily by resuming the daily White House press briefings, he has yet to hold a news conference of his own. Now, Alex Howard, he directs the Digital Democracy Project at the Demand Progress Educational Fund. He says the steps they've taken are welcome but insufficient to the moment and the need. They need to keep showing their work by opening cabinet meetings, disclosing information, and using political capital to emphasize that being open by default isn't just an option, but an obligation across the government. I'm shocked, honestly, because when Joe Biden called a lid for about 80 days in a row during the presidential campaign, it never once crossed my mind that this would follow him into the White House, that if he actually became president, if the press pushed him over the finish line, that he would continue to not take questions from them and continue to treat them like dirt and continue to only answer questions about ice cream and dogs and, you know, things of that nature. I'm really surprised. And if that wasn't enough, that brought a smile to my face. Anytime the press is now going to complain that they don't have access to Joe Biden, you can just know that I will be sitting, reading the story, laughing, because we told them this. They should have cared 3 months ago. They should have cared 5 months ago. They should have cared 7 months ago that Joe Biden wouldn't take any questions, that Kamala Harris wouldn't take any questions, but they didn't. And now that it seems maybe their ratings are going down, you know, maybe they're having a hard time finding stories that don't include Orange Man Bad, now they suddenly have a thirst for transparency. They're suddenly realizing that the man they hated so much, Donald Trump, was actually pretty open and actually took a lot of questions. And then just to add insult to injury, I always say this, but if there's one candidate or if there's one politician besides maybe Nancy Pelosi who should be on their knees thanking the press for the beautiful, fluffy coverage that they receive, it is Joe Biden. And instead, he treats them like complete jerks. He snaps at them. He says, you know, don't jump, don't jump. Like, he treats them like he treats voters who ask him legitimate questions. He's rude. He's impatient. And he's just arrogant. But I love it because that's what the press deserves. So this one really adds insult to injury. White House imposes COVID-19 testing fee on reporters in latest step limiting press access. The White House is imposing a new $170 COVID testing fee on reporters who want to access the West Wing. In what laugh it up, Kamala. And what critics say is the latest step that constrains press coverage of President Biden. Again, I'm totally shocked. I'm clutching my pearls at this story. The Biden administration already imposed sweeping restrictions, including capping at 80 the number of pre-approved journalists who are able to access White House grounds on a given day, each of whom must take a COVID-19 rapid test before 1 p.m. Under former President Donald Trump, remember him? Politico said that he set the bar really, really, really low. Well, under former President Donald Trump, any reporter with a hard pass was able to breeze past the White House gates at any time and without taking a coronavirus test. But few abuse the privilege due to peer pressure to limit visits. The latest restrictions were announced in an on-the-record email from White House Correspondents Association President Zeke Miller, who is a reporter for the Associated Press. He said, the White House has informed us that it has determined the budgetary constraints limit the government's ability to provide the daily COVID-19 testing that the White House has required for journalists on campus. The new fee is likely to have the biggest impact on TV crews who make up much of the 80-person press contingent allowed every day, and the small handful of print reporters who win a lottery to access the White House grounds on a given day. It's crazy. It's almost like Joe Biden doesn't want people at the White House. Not only does he not want reporters at the White House snooping around, he doesn't want them to know who's coming in and out of the White House. And the craziest part of the whole thing is that when Biden was vice president, he was part of the scandal-free Obama administration, who, once again, so transparent. I just can't wait, because we're a little more than a month in now, Jared. And it's proving to be worse than I ever could have imagined. Actually, let's play a little bit of Trump saying basically the same thing. This is cut two.
Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history. That's true. Already, the Biden administration has proven that they are anti-jobs, anti-family, anti-borders, anti-energy, anti-women, and anti-science. In just one short month, we have gone from America first to America last.
He did a great job, and I totally agree. It has been quite a whopper of a first month for Joe Biden. Kurt Schlichter actually talked a little bit about that in a piece. He just talked about, you know, he's killed thousands of jobs. He's already had the airstrike on Syria. The Biden voters out there must be very disappointed in their dear leader. Guys, we'll be back on the other side with Howie Carr. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I think he's getting on a plane. He told me last, he came in to see me last event. And representatives, Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And
Not good. I said it before, but my scorn has turned to pity, and there is no denying it. It's just, it does, anytime he gets out there, it's just getting worse and worse. Guys, today's crossover is brought to you by McConnell's Irish Whiskey. You'll know when you take your first sip, some things are worth the wait. Also, Howie, McConnell's Irish Whiskey is sponsoring your studio VIP visits once you return. The first will be Tuesday, May 4th, and you can enter for a chance to win a free VIP visit. Just go to HowieKarcher.com and click on the McConnell's Whiskey banner. That's a huge deal, Howie, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great that it's March now. St. Patrick's Day is coming, even if they try to shut it down and tell the bars in Southie they can't have lines out the door. But you can still buy some Irish whiskey to celebrate. And, you know, McConnell's, it's great. It hasn't been in the U.S. since Prohibition, but it's back. And give it a shot.
Exactly.
Give it a couple of shots, as a matter of fact.
Why not? Slancha, as I say, Howie, as a good Irish girl.
I know.
Howie, I do have to ask you. I know that you were really debating last night. You called me up and you said, "Grace, I don't know what to watch, CPAC or the Golden Globes." And I have to ask, what did you go with?
I ended up going with the CPAC. The only regret I had, and I wrote a column about it, by the way, HowieKarcher.com. It's the lead column if you want to check it out, just mainly about the speech. But the only thing that I was kind of disappointed in was he said the price of gasoline is going to go up. And everybody, we were watching it, you know where we're watching it, down on looking out at the intercoastal waterway with a bunch of people. We all looked at each other and say, "It's going to go up? It's already gone up, Mr. President. Take the Bentley out for a spin.
Take it
down to the Dixie Highway. It's up a buck. It's $2.99 a gallon at the Marathon." And then one guy that was with us said he gets high tested. It's $3.05 a gallon. I mean, it didn't take long, did it?
Howie, maybe it was actually a setup by Trump so that Glenn Kessler or one of those people would fact check him and say, "Actually, Mr. President, the price of gasoline has already gone up astronomically." And then he can just say, "Yep, you miss me yet?"
Yeah, I know. It was pretty good. How about Joe Biden calling Sheila Jackson Lee Shirley? You know what that reminded me of?
What?
The Leslie Nielsen line.
Oh.
"Don't call me Shirley."
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. I mean, I think the more concerning part of that clip is when he says, "What am I doing here?" Because we've all been asking
that
question.
Before.
We've all been asking that question a lot lately. And Howie, I just read some stories about, you know, the visitor logs. They're not releasing the virtual visitors. And that's how everything's really happening nowadays. And you informed me that this is not a new practice.
Well, yeah. When JFK was assassinated, they let the Kennedys, all of them, stay in the White House through the funeral. And the last thing Bobby, the AG and the younger brother of JFK, did before he left was to grab all the logs. And that's like, you know, you're not supposed to do that. That's part of the historical record. But they didn't want to see the names of Marilyn Monroe and Judith Campbell Exner and, you know, the East German spy and God only knows what other, and probably Dr. Feelgood, you know, coming in to give shots, drug shots to the Mr. and Mrs. JFK.
Hey, Howie,
so
just
he grabbed everything before he left.
Just for my listeners here who might not know, is there a place they could go to read about that?
Kennedy Babylon Volumes 1 and 2. Go to HowieKarcher.com and click on store right there. And also read my column about the speech last night. We'll be talking about the speech. We'll be talking about the Cuomo scandals, too.
Yes, there's so much to unpack there. Dana Bash gets the Cuomos confused, but we don't here at the Grace Curley Show. We'll be back, guys, tomorrow with more. Don't go anywhere.